Someone asked, I keep having dreams that are scary. What can I do? Or should I say, I keep having bad dreams. What can I do? Now, this is broad, and I'm going to ask you to go and get, if you can get the audios on visions and dreams, hopefully they will help. But I'll touch this. I've already said that there are two types of dreams a person can have. The Bible says through much activity, dreaming occurs through much activity. There are dreams that come, and I call them soulish dreams. They occur within the soul of a man. Then there are dreams that come from outside of you. They come from the spirit realm and are deposited into you. And they can either be demonic or they can be divine. Some dreams, the Bible refers to them as false dreams. But we won't go into that. Now, I want to concentrate a little on soulish dreams. Then I'll answer the question as quickly as I can. You need to know that a soulish dream is a dream that occurs within the soul of a man. It's not a spiritual thing. It doesn't have spiritual implications. Let's say you've been dreaming of someone dying. Now, this is a very, because you can have a spiritual dream of someone dying, but you can also have a soulish dream of someone dying. There's a distinction. When someone has what I call a soulish dream, the purpose of that dream is to reveal to you the state of you, the state of your heart, the state. You see, the thing is, the way we are designed as human beings, we are never designed to lie to ourselves. You can't lie to yourself. And so, take for example, someone says, I'm not proud. Imagine a proud person saying they're not proud. Then they go to sleep at night, and they have a dream, and in this dream, someone is telling them you're proud. What that is actually a soulish dream. It's revealing to you your true nature. That's what soulish dreams do. In other words, you can't lie to yourself. Who you are in the spirit is exactly how you will appear. Those are soulish dreams, and they are very, very important because they reveal character. They reveal your true nature. They reveal who you are. If you're a person who fears a lot, when you go to sleep at night, your dreams will be filled with things that scare you. In other words, from a soulish perspective, especially if you're having them constantly, from a soulish perspective, the spirit world is revealing to you that in the natural, this is how you are. Otianyo. You fear too much. And so, you see things around you, the darkness constantly coming to you. And so, you need to get to a place, go back to the word. The Bible says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. Okay? Now, on the other hand, there are dreams like that come from the spirit realm. That could be warnings, or they could be attacks from the enemy. Now, this is how I need to tell you how important you are. Just like prophecies, just like dreams, just like visions, when you dream, every dream you have needs your permission in order to come to pass. Every single dream needs your permission in order to come to pass. And permission is not you saying yes, come to pass. Permission is you aligning to the dream. In other words, you think about it, you expect it. The Bible says in script, it says actually, the expectation of the just shall not be cut off. The law of reception is linked to the law of expectation. In order to receive something, you must expect it. Whether it's bad or good. That's why when someone, an auntie, comes and says, that's why you're going to fail exams. The moment you receive it and you expect it, it will come to pass. Okay? And people usually expect bad things more than they do good things. That's why you must train yourself. So remember that the law of reception is linked so much to the law of expectation. Very, very important. So that's true for dreams as well. No matter how bad a dream is, if you say no, it will not come to pass. It just doesn't have that power. You are the channel through which everything first passes in order to manifest into reality. Okay? So whether it is a spirit dream or a soulish dream, the moment you wake up and say, you know what? This one I've refused. It can't. And it's the same for good things. Even if it was just a soulish dream or something, an activity you had during the day and that made you think about money, you can say, I receive it, and then expect it, and it will manifest. That's how powerful it is. So, to answer your question, what do I do? Stop receiving and stop expecting. And you stop seeing those things manifesting. Okay? We'll touch on dreams. It's very, very broad. We'll touch it on another day. I want to go to the very last question before I close. Someone asked me a question. How do I know my purpose in life? And this one has a world record of the most asked question amongst Christians. How do I know my purpose in life? This one, I want to spend a little time on it because it's very, very important. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, the Bible says, and very common, usually read in line with purpose, God says, before you were formed in your mother's belly, I knew you, and I called you as a prophet. So he says, I called you as a prophet to the nations. Now, the call there is Jeremiah being a prophet. The nation is the mandate. I'll say that again. I called you as a prophet. Then he says, to the nations. So the call is prophet. The nation is Jeremiah's mandate. What that means is that nations is the minimum God expects from Jeremiah's life here on earth, touching nations. Minimum. Actually, the minimum is national level that God expects from Jeremiah. So if he touches like a town, like a district, he's operating below par. Okay? So anyway, so Jeremiah is called as a prophet to the nations. Now, in scripture there are signs that God predestines things. There are things that are predestined. There's a difference between predestination and predetermination. There's a difference between those two. When God predetermines something, he makes it come to pass. He plays a role in ensuring that it comes to pass. Okay? So he interferes and intervenes to ensure that it comes to pass. That's predetermination. That means no man can do anything to stop it from coming to pass. Predestination means that God has a desired end for you. That's what predestination is. So God's desired end for Jeremiah was to be a prophet to the nations. That's predestination. All of us are predestined. Now the thing with predestination is God does not force. It's different from predetermination. God does not force you. Now the key to understanding what your purpose is in life, and this is very, very important. If you do not learn to obey the general will of God, he cannot reveal to you the specific will. And the general will is found within the word of God. Simple things, straightforward things. Pray, read your Bible, try your very best to be at peace with all men, things like that. The Bible is the general will of God. And the purpose of the general will is to teach you obedience. That's the purpose. So you learn how to obey. And remember the two aspects I said. You learn to obey and walk into things through discipline or creating appetite. So the purpose of the general will is obedience. As you obey the general will, you will then learn. God will reveal the specific will and you would learn to be obedient through it. Which brings me back to predestination. Predestination is the desired end that God has for you. And because it's the desired end, and God doesn't force, I have to emphasize this. There are sacred things that God gave men. Sacred. One of those sacred things is free will. Free will. When God created man, he gave him the ability to choose. Because God gave you free will, and I have to touch this, because God gave you free will, you play a very big role in how you walk this life, or this path of life. There are many people I have found who come looking for prophecies, for them to be told what is next. Now let me tell you something. Even if I prophesied to you and I said you're supposed to be a business mogul, It helps in the sense that you know, but I can't get you there. You have to learn to heed the voice of God, and you have to learn to grow how God speaks to you through obedience. The Bible says that Jesus learned obedience through suffering. Not that you suffer, but it's an example. So obedience is extremely important. Obedience to the will of God. So there are many people who come for prophecy. The reason is because people don't want, a large number of people, maybe not you, but a large number of people don't want to be responsible for their decisions. They want someone else to tell them so that they can have someone else to blame. Or if not, they fear to make their own decisions. But let me tell you this, even when you receive a prophecy or a dream or whatsoever, even when you have a man of God standing over you and giving you advice, ultimately when you stand before God, you'll have to give account for the decision you made. So you might as well make that decision yourself. Yes? You might as well make that decision yourself. It's okay to get guidance, it's okay to get prophecy, but ultimately you must make the decision. If you come to me asking me who's supposed to be my wife, if by the Spirit I guide you, in the end the decision is yours. You shouldn't marry someone because I have said. That's not how it works. So you learn obedience. Obedience is very key to understanding and opening up the specific will that God has for you, for your life. And I want to touch something quickly before I close. Most people think, I've written it here, most people think that not knowing your call means that you are not walking in it. That's not true. It's not true. I'll say it this way. There are people who think that the moment they discovered their call, that's when it has begun. That's not true. Because your call did not begin in time. It began in eternity. You see, God is telling Jeremiah, before you were formed. So your call begins in eternity. When you come here on earth, even when you don't know it, there are certain aspects of your call that are happening by default. Certain aspects of it. Now, what the knowledge of the call does is that it adds meaning and purpose to the things that you do. You're not just doing them anymore. You understand. You might not understand why you're doing them, but it adds some meaning and purpose. You realize that on a certain aspect, the devil has put poverty around you because actually you're called to be rich. Okay? You understand that maybe the reason why you had a problem speaking is because in the future you're a dangerous person when it comes to communication. And so everything around you begins to make sense. Knowledge of your call adds meaning and purpose, but not knowing it does not mean the call has not begun. Now, along your path of life, there are two things. There are challenges and there are benefits. The purpose of the challenge is to ensure that at every stage of life, you are being conformed to Christ's likeness. As you obey with every challenge, a part of you is being conformed to Christ's likeness. Until that part of scripture that says, it is no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me, becomes true of you. So every stage of challenge in life conforms you to the image of Christ. He learned obedience through suffering. The purpose of the benefits is to reward you for faithfulness. You heard rightly, and so hear. Those benefits can be financial or in kind. Now, let me explain something that I think is extremely dangerous for you. Many of you, it is easy when you have discovered your call to think that when you receive a financial reward or remuneration or whatsoever, it is easy to think that the purpose of the call is to make money. Very, very easy to think. The moment your mind is set on that, you've missed the call. This is just, the finances is just a small aspect of the call. And there are many people out there, I see them day in, day out. They told them, you're supposed to be a media person. And all they're thinking about is making money. And so the sign to a number of people is, if he's making money, he's actually efficient in the kingdom. That's not true. Efficiency in the kingdom is this, and let me explain. Let's say you're a banker, but you're called to be an evangelist. Banking is your job. Evangelism is your work towards the kingdom. Let's say you're an evangelist, but you're doing part-time work elsewhere. There are jobs, but then there is the work for the kingdom. The work that God has called you to do here on earth, directly, not indirectly, directly influences the kingdom of God. That is the work that God has called you for. Now, if you haven't discovered it, I want you to realize that, remember what I said at the beginning, to understand the specific will that God has for you, you have to learn to obey the general will. I see many of you, you want to be prophesied to, you come and sit, you see, you seek me out. You say, what is the call of God in my life? And so if I tell you fashion, you realize after some time that telling you fashion is not going to make it come out easy, is it? It's not just going to make everything roll out. The reason is because you must learn general obedience in order to, for the specific will to be revealed to you and for you to walk obediently in it. I'm telling you, child of God, there are many people out there who have been successful in everything but their call. Now, I have to touch this because this is very important. There are people who think that their gifting is their call. That's not true. Your gift helps the calling. So someone can be gifted to prophesy and they ultimately call themselves prophets. That's not true. And one day we shall touch about what the true element of the office of a prophet is. If you're gifted in singing, singing only plays a role in the general call towards the kingdom of God. It's a gift. Your gift falls within the confines of the call, not your call within the confines of the gift. And the day you realize that, the day you start realizing that, okay, I might be a good singer, but there's a bigger picture than me just singing and getting money. I might be a good at business ideas, but there's a bigger picture than me just succeeding in business and making money. There must be an attachment and a fulfillment towards the kingdom of God. And as I come towards the end of this, I want to emphasize that as you're faithful towards this work, you will receive promotions. Promotion in the kingdom of God doesn't mean money. So everyone thinks that, that one, oh my God, that one is having money. That means he has been promoted in the kingdom. That's not what it means. Promotion, according to faithfulness, means that more responsibility has been added to you. The scope of people that